when we understand what God has done for us, then we can grasp the extent of God's love for us. It changes the way we see the world. Being grateful for what God has done changes how we live. It changes how we interact with others. It changes how we just approach life. I'm personally not always very good with keeping that perspective of gratitude. I'm thankful for all the help, but sometimes it gets hard for me to just acknowledge I need help. This week I needed a lot of help, and y'all were there for me. But we're going to take a look today at 10 lepers that Jesus had an interaction with in the book of Luke. And Luke begins with these 10 men, and they don't have much to be grateful for, right? They have leprosy, which is a contagious disease. You can catch COVID and the cold easier than you could leprosy because it was prolonged contact. But they were scared to death of them because of what it does to the skin. So what society did was they put them in this place, in this region where they were away from everybody. They're not in a town, they're not in a village, and they leave them there. They can come to a certain place and they can buy things, but there's not much interaction between them and the vendors. If you want something, you know, you have to pay for it. I've read that the money was cleaned thoroughly before it was ever taken out of the solution after the leper paid for whatever they got. So they ended up in this spot, and they're excluded from society. They're ostracized. Nobody wants to be around them. And, you know, we still do people that way today, whether we mean to or not. We ostracize them. We put them out of our clique. We put them out of our social unit because, you know, they're just a little different. I'm a little different. I hope nobody ever puts me out of that social unit because I like socializing. I like to be able to talk to people. I like to visit. But these folks were stuck. The only thing they had was themselves, each other. And there was 10 in this one little area. And by law, they had to live out. So they couldn't live in the villages. They had to live on the outskirts, away from everything. And when people came close to them, they had to announce that they had an issue. Either unclean or, hey, I've got this disease, you don't want it. I'm not sure how they did it. But I think it would be a tough nut crack to walk in Walmart today, right? And somebody say, you pass Charlie, and she goes, I got a cold. Right? We did that during COVID, did we not? You see somebody walking down the aisle, they got a face mask on. I saw people with face masks, rubber gloves, and a Tyvek suit on, and I'm like, come on, man. There's not but so much you can do to keep that off. And a cloth mask wasn't it. We found that out the hard way. But we ostracize people. We set them aside. We set them apart. But you know what? The fact that they were still able to do stuff, they were grateful for. So the truth is, these men lived on the edge of society. Luke says, and I'm not going to read the scripture. I'm just going to go through it as it's explained in the book of Luke. He says they lived in an area between Samaria and Galilee. So that region, that area, doesn't exist. It's a border. It's like the state line of Alabama and Mississippi. You know, people live there. There's no town there. It's not like going to Hattiesburg where you have one city and two different counties, but it's there. It's in that region. It's right on that border, and there's a road through there, but that's about it. And that's where they ostracized these people to. They sent them, they exiled them to that spot because they're away from everybody. And it's interesting, though, to look at the map. All you've got's a line. There's no region there. There's no man. It's just a no man's land. So the lepers live there in that in-between space, not really included in either Samaria or Galilee, and vice versa. And there are 10 of them that have been sent there, rejected. put down and separated, set apart as being different. We shouldn't be surprised that Jesus would go there, right? Because where did he meet us? Where we are. He meets us where we are today still. And even though there were no newspapers, there was no internet, there was no, you know, you walk into the post office and the president's picture's hanging on the wall. So there's no little store or kiosk out where these people are that's got Jesus' picture, but yet they knew who Jesus was. They had heard the stories of healing, the miracles. They had heard every little thing that Jesus had done and never seen him before. But yet when he came close, they knew it was him. There's just that, I guess that presence that Jesus carries whenever he's near and whenever he's close to us, working in our heart. So even though there was no newspapers, they knew who he was. They recognized him and they called out for mercy. Luke says they called to please have mercy on us. So Jesus followed the Jewish law and he sends them to a priest. You know, he talks to them. He tells them, okay, yeah, go to the priest. And that priest is responsible for certifying who is ritually clean. And as they walk, because they have faith that Jesus is going to heal them, they have faith that he's going to make them well by the time they get there. So as they go, and the Bible doesn't say how far they go or which town they go to, but they go there and they are healed en route. And as they're walking, nine of them keep going, and there's one guy that turns around and goes back to praise Jesus. And the Bible says that he's actually walking and realizes that he's healed. Could you imagine having something that either made sores or made pigmentation changes on you, and you're walking and all of a sudden you look down and all that is clear? All of your sickness is gone. You feel better. You got a pep in your step. You're headed to get certified so that you can interact with society again. And you realize it and you go back. Nine of his buddies kept going, but one turned back. I wonder if it was because he was a Samaritan. The Bible says he was a Samaritan. And they're foreigners. They were set apart, you know. None of them liked each other, especially if you were from Samaria, you were considered an outsider. You were considered set apart already. But Luke doesn't explicitly say, but we might assume that the other guys were probably Jewish. And because it only speaks of the one Samaritan. These ten are only together because they're living in this area with this sickness. They've been rejected. And Samaritan is a foreigner no matter what. He's more to gain than any of the others. He's not only cleansed of his leprosy, but Jesus accepts him as an outsider. Who else are outsiders? We are. We're not Jewish. We're Gentiles. We're set apart. But we're all an outsider. And Jesus accepts us. That's good news for us all, right? The healing, the wholeness that Jesus brings is both for Jew and Gentile alike. This guy understands what Jesus had done for him because there wasn't any medicine that would heal that. They just put him somewhere and they left him to die. And now his life's changed. He throws himself at Jesus' feet and he thanks him with overwhelming gratitude. This sort of gratitude is what builds our faith. In fact, I don't think you can have faith in God, believe in him, without having some type of gratitude. Our faith is built on his son dying on the cross and rising again and going to heaven to make a place for us and leaving us with the Holy Spirit to guide our path. In fact, I don't think you can't love God without having some type of gratitude. Faith comes from recognizing what God has done for you in Christ. And when you truly understand Jesus, how much Jesus loves you, you can't help but be grateful. Martin Luther once asked for the definition of true worship, and one of his students answered the 10th leper. A definition of true worship. Worship is living out gratitude. That's why we gather as Christians, is to worship God, praise God, to get together and be thankful for what God has done for us, what Jesus did for us all those years ago, for saving us, for helping us, for making us well. So the primary purpose of a worship service, the reason we're here this morning, is to give thanks to God, to come before God as a congregation and acknowledge who God is, acknowledge the truth that God is God and I am not, because I have so many failings. I fall short all the time. And it's a hard road to walk sometimes. But with faith, we can do it. With gratitude, we can do it. And everything that we did this morning, singing the song, standing and praising, it's practice. Because when we depart this world, it's a party. Whether you like to sing or not, and that's what I told the kids all week, I don't care if you like to dance. I don't care if you like to sing. Baptists don't dance. We have interpretive movements. I'm sorry. But I don't care if you like it or not. Get up out of the chair and make a movement, make a motion, sing a song, say a word. Hallelujah. Right? Because when you get to heaven, you're going to dance around the throne of God. You're going to sing and praise Him. It's a guarantee because it's in the book. Worship is living out gratitude because we are thankful. It shapes how we see the world. And gratitude is a natural response to understanding what God has done, but it's also something that takes practice. I have to practice at that. I'm thankful so much for the help this week. But there are certain things that went into this week that needed help and assistance, and we got it and we overcame obstacles. And I am grateful for that because stuff was done and handled that I didn't have to think about. Because if anybody has been a cat herder before, it's hard, right? A few of us have worked cows before. And you always have that one crazy one, right? All right. We had 62 registered kids, 48 average per night. That was 48 crazy cats running around. But there was gratitude there. We all were grateful that they were there. The parents took the time to drop them off. The parents took the time to bring them in or to get them registered digitally. Baby steps, right? So we got all that. I am so grateful for that. But the thing is I also captured their information. I have their emails. I have their house address. I have their phone numbers. And I'm thankful for it because God blessed this church with that building. Congregation and a pastor with a vision for what could be here at Bexley. And we're still headed there. Do you think that the other 9 lepers who didn't come back, maybe they were ungrateful? Maybe, but I doubt it. I imagine they were grateful, but they didn't think. Because being grateful for something is showing gratitude, again, takes practice. They're not used to probably having to go back and say thank you, but that one did. they didn't do anything about it, short of going to show that certifying priest, clergyman, whoever he was, hey, I'm healed, I'm clean, I can go back into society. You know, actually, I have some sympathy for them. Imagine how they felt when that Samaritan friend came back later, because you know they congregated. They got back together a little later, and he's like, yeah, you know, I went back to see Jesus, because they're like, dude, where you been? Why weren't you at the priest to get recertified so, man, we can go to the market if they were young so we could date again, right? Because they might have been good-looking guys. I have no idea. But he's standing there and he says, oh, I went back to thank Jesus. I went back to show him how much I appreciate him saving my life. I mean, wouldn't that be an awkward conversation to share with all of them? Because they're standing there and you don't never know where Jesus is going to pop up. And I'm sure he wasn't still waiting there for them to come back. But yeah, I went back and I talked to him, had a conversation with him. I couldn't help myself. I fell at his feet and I praised him and I thanked him for saving my life. Luke doesn't tell us exactly what motivated him to go back. All he says is one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praised God with a loud voice. I told the kids this week as we worshiped, I said, I need you to sing. And some screamed. Sing, don't scream. Sing, don't scream. Scream. Now, don't sing. Scream. They figured it out. We worked the week out. But they praised with a loud voice. I even had to get somebody to sit with a couple because they were so shrill. I needed some of Brother Ernie's earplugs. Especially on this one side over here when we were standing in there. But he praised him, praised God with a loud voice. He saw that he was healed. All 10 of them were healed of their leprosy. But only one, Luke says, came back. He received the blessing of physical healing, but he also got that spiritual healing also. So he got the spiritual healing also because Jesus said to him, your faith has made you well. He receives the blessing of physical, spiritual healing, and he's the only one who truly grasped what Jesus had done for him. That seeing, that recognizing what God does for each of us and choosing to be grateful for it. I get it. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to be grateful. It's hard to see the blessings through the muck, through the sludge, through that gumbo mud that is George County, through life. It is hard to see good in a lot of it. But the fact that you have Jesus, the fact that you have life, makes everything so much more appealing, so much more, helps us to be so much more grateful for what he's done. Because truly, sometimes we do forget. I do. I don't wake up every morning and say, Jesus died on the cross for me, rose again, and saved my life. I don't wake up and do that every morning. I should. And give him a thank you. When I finish my prayer, I say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. But I don't think about actually what he did. How he saved me. How he's healed me. I've had different things happen. How he's worked through that. Helped me work through that. Jesus' final instruction was to get up and go on along his way. Giving thanks leads back to action, to an active faith. These kids this week will put action to what they've learned. They can't help it. They went home singing these songs, which is the cool part. Whether mama or daddy knows Jesus or not, they went home singing that God is good and that the battle belongs to all of us. and that we need to soldier on. And that Brother Brian had a sword that was stuck in the castle and we didn't see it all week. I had a cool shield, and that, you know, each of my teachers gave me that extra time. They showed me some love. Some of them may have received that love for the first time. That meals we ate each night, I'm thankful for you ladies and guys that pulled all that together. That might be the best meal they've had all week or all day. But no offense, I was ready for my squash and peas and my side of ribs yesterday. Felicia said, "What are we having for lunch?" I said, "It ain't chicken nuggets, that's for sure." And thank God Walmart had them on sale too. So our action as Christians is always in response to God's action to us or for us. Our love comes out of gratitude for God's love. First and foremost, we're grateful because we have been redeemed by God. Amen. And like the leper, we've been healed by Jesus and made whole. If we've given our life to Him, if we've truly been grateful. And, you know, we had VBS this week. We've had a month of, that's the only way to explain it. There was so many deaths and sicknesses and surgeries and injuries and shocks. I don't know why y'all pay for shocks. I have an electric fence at home. Creaking bones, back aches, bad feet. Just so much. I get it, y'all. We've all been in the trenches. We've all been through this together, though. Because where we've tried, and I think we excel, is we don't leave each other behind. We're there for each other. We always jump in. We always are grateful for what God has done for us, where this church is. I've heard so many times in this building, our church don't do this by visitors. Our church don't do this. Well, buddy, we do. If you'd like to be a part, this is when we meet. It's easy to find gratitude on the hilltops and hard to find it in the valleys. I find gratitude this morning and I find it easy to have gratitude this morning knowing that I'm part of an amazing church. To know that they have worked tirelessly. Each one of you have worked tirelessly this week because look, there's no tired like VBS tired. I was dead dog tired every night when I got home. We lay down and Felicia's like, "Why do you have the TV on?" I said, "I have to unwind because I would think about all night long what I needed to do if I didn't." Because that's the way the mind works. Some that were close to God and some that were far from God experienced Jesus this week in a major way. Some of those kids, some of those parents that were here for family night, whether they were close to God or not, they came a little closer. Some children came alive in Christ, and we're working on that. We're going to get that followed up on. But as we go about our days this week, waking up, breathing, no matter how difficult it might be, because it is very humid, and pollen is starting to climb again, having the freedom to go and do what we want to do, when we want to do it. And knowing that Jesus is by our side. May we follow the 10th leper's example of gratitude for what God has done in all things. Praising God as we go on our way, because our faith has made us well. I truly can't thank y'all enough. It's been a blessed week. I've had a blast. And I couldn't have done any of it. Felicia and I couldn't have done any of it without you. whether you were here or not. You were here in spirit. And I appreciate you so much. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the day. I thank you for each person that's here. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would work in and through us as we go this week. Help us to be bold as we speak your word, as we talk with people. Lord, help us to share what happened at Bible school this week, what happened in our church, what's going on, Lord, with you. Lord, just what you're doing for us. We ask that you would just bless it and that we would take what you've got, Lord, hide it in our heart, and not just hide it for a moment, but for a moment, and to share with someone, Lord, about what you've done for us. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.